Hola, you're listening to Las Chicas del Crime, a podcast where tres amigas sit down and talk all things true crime for Hispanic and American crimes. This episode of Las Chicas del Crime contains explicit content not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Recording.
Hola, hola, hola. Ya regresamos. We are back. I'm Osa.
I'm Jen.
Y somos
las chicas
del
crime.
Hello, hello, hello. We're here. And this is actually, well, like our first episode that we're going to put out of
Chisme.
Chisme.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is something we've been working on for a long time, but it kind of just kept going, put back in the drafts and stuff. Chicas Chisme.
Oh, we had one episode out, but we never kept going with it.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought, but I was 100% sure. I know we wanted this for the website and for Patronuses, but that's not working right now, but it eventually will be working. And when we do, you guys will might have to pay $1 to holla. but it's gonna be worth it. You guys, you know, we're going to have some perks and stuff. And I know we've been talking about this website for a long time, but we're working on it on our own. And it's hard. And just give us a minute.
Yes.
You know, there used to be three. Now there's two. Hopefully there'll be three again. But for now, it's two. We're both moms. We're both working. And we're working on everything as we can. Just give us a minute.
And we're all very original and unique with our content. Yes. So we're not copy-pasting out here.
Nothing. So everything.
Taking time.
It takes its time. And we're here. And you know, we don't have a big production team behind us yet.
Yep.
So literally it's just me and Jen like texting each other like, hey, did you do this? Hey, did you do this? Hey, do you want me to do this? And you know, doing what we can. So
bear with us. We do what we do on our dime. So like we said, it's going to take some time. But when it comes out, we're going to deliver and execute.
As we do. Yeah.
As we do.
You guys love us and it's for a reason and we're here and
we're still bringing y'all content, so that's what we're here for, really.
Really?
Okay.
Anything extra is extra, so
that's it.
Listen.
No, but if y'all want to also send a couple donations this way so we can get stuff going,
yes,
hit
because
us up.
As soon as the website is done, merch is going to be up there. I know a lot of people have asked me about the shirts. I'm sure people have asked Jen.
Yes.
It's just, it's easier to wait for it to go through a website instead of like us having to like, you know, order through DM and stuff because
we got hit up a lot.
Yeah, it's better. It's better for our mental health, okay? So yes, bear with us.
And we appreciate y'all for wanting this stuff. So we can bring it to y'all on a good, consistent basis. Bear with us.
Bear with
okay?
Us.
We want y'all to have the best.
It's coming.
But today, we have a great topic for our Chica Chisme. Also, background real quick. Chisme is just episodes where we're really just going to be talking about current events and topics, giving more of our personal opinion.
Yeah.
With the little razzle-dazzle facts, depending on the topic we're talking about.
Yeah.
So,
and send us topics if you guys want us to talk about certain things. If you guys want us, you know, anything. You know, we're very mental health forward advocating. So if you guys want to talk about that, if you guys want us to talk about, you know, Britney being free, we could talk about that.
Yeah.
If you guys want us to talk about, what is his name from Law & Order? That the director, the writer that got fucking, he got busted for like child porn.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
You know, anything you guys want us to talk about, hit us up. We'll put it in here. We'll talk about it. One thing I could do, if anybody knows me, is fucking talk.
Okay, me too.
And, you know, a lot of people think I'm a comedian. I'm not a comedian, guys. I don't get paid for these jokes. It's just me, okay?
Right,
like, I
can't
help it.
We don't get paid yet.
Not yet.
But today, we're bringing y'all a very interesting topic that our sports fans probably know a lot about if you watch football. Today, we're going to be talking about CTE, as it has a lot to do with crimes and mental health as one whole. So we're just talking about it from the beginning and, you know, giving a lot of understanding of what's out there. So let's get to it.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to give you guys a scientific background on it and how it affects you, your personal and behaviors and all that stuff. So CTE stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. That's a big one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Scientists know that in CTE there is a large buildup of protein called tau, T-A-U. I might be murdering that, but tau is what we're going to pronounce it as. Tau occurs normally in the brain, but we do not yet understand what causes it to build up in large amounts. As more and more proteins clump in the nerve cells, the cells lose their ability to function and eventually die. This causes the affected parts of the brain to shrink. Studies have shown that CTE can result from repeated head injuries, including traumatic brain injury or concussions from contact sports accidents or combat. It is unclear if a single head injury can cause CTE, and not everyone who has a concussion develops CTE. So that's that. So in layman's terms, CTE is protein buildup in the brain that causes your brain function to deplete and shrink. Therefore, when your brain shrinks, it obviously loses function in certain parts of the brain. And we all know that each part of the brain has a very specific job. We're not here to discuss all of those. Pay attention in your biology class if you're in class. If not, Google it. It'll tell you. CTE is a condition that may result from head injuries, especially in athletes of contact sports like boxing or football. The condition slowly damages parts of the brain and may cause trouble with memory, other thinking skills, behavior, personality, speech, or balance. Thinking and behavior changes in CTE usually very mild in the beginning, and the person and their family may not even notice the significant changes at first. The early symptoms to really pay attention for may include mild memory loss, headaches, irritable mood, slurred speech, or unsteadiness when walking. People with CTE have also reported of having trouble concentrating, organizing, or planning tasks, remembering answers to questions they ask, or doing more than one task at a time. However, over time, the disease progresses and memory, mood, and behavior and problems with speech will increase effectively. So sometimes people even end up losing speech or memory, period. People with CTE may become depressed, anxious, and may act more aggressively and inappropriately in social settings. They may get lost. People with CTE get harder and harder to understand or make sense out of. And also have a higher increase rate of falling. Last fact, a person with CTE can actually live many years with the disease.
Wow.
Yeah. So a couple takeaways. It doesn't always happen from football or sports. It can happen from accidents or if you're in combat. And it can progress over time. It looks a little different in everybody. And some people can live with it. Others cannot. And not every concussion develops CTE. Very interesting. So this is how psychologically CTE can affect you. And we may have seen a lot of these cases in the news. Osa, I take it over to you.
Okay. So actually, you were telling me, I'm listening to what you're saying. I know, I knew what CTE was in the brief of CTE. And then you were saying people who suffer from CTE might get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of someone. Oh. And I'll tell you now. So we've discussed this 1,000 times. I'm a fucking wrestler fan.
Oh, yes.
I was a wrestler fan since Mexico. I've went to wrestling matches in Mexico because I can't afford WWE prices. And one of not my favorite, but he was a really good wrestler. His stage name was Abismo Negro. His real name was Andrés Alejandro Palomeque González. So Abismo Negro had been traveling in Mexico. They don't fly as much as here. They travel by bus because they have to pay their own stuff. They don't get paid as much money as here. So they were traveling by bus from one town to another. They were going to go, to another place to wrestle, whatever. So according to the bus driver that was transporting Abismo, him and other passengers from Mexico City to Palomoque, El Rosario, Sinaloa. He says that Abismo had became agitated, panicked, and left the bus despite being 1:30 in the morning. He sent a text to his wife, leaving that he confirming that he left the bus and he was lost in a dark hillside. After receiving the text, his wife contacted another wrestling promoter who organized a search party. On the morning of March 22nd, Abismo was found floating face down. They say it was, like, here it says a river, but a long time ago when I remember it happened, I saw the guy that, and I don't know his name here, but the guy that his wife
called
was a professional wrestler in Mexico, and his name was Conan. And I don't know if that's his professional name here, but he was a professional wrestler in the United States too. He was Cuban, and he was for like the WCW.
Oh.
His catchphrase was yo, let me speak on these. Órale, arriba la raza. We are lost. We are los vatos locos forever, man. So he was like he always went back to and forth to Mexico. And he, in here, I remember he played like a I love Mexico thing. And in Mexico, it was just like for the show. He played like an I hate Mexico thing. It was like, you know, whatever. He, in the interview, he said that, you know, he had even called him. He's like, bro, where are you? And he was like, oh, I don't know where I'm at. He said he hanged up the phone with him and then he was never able to reach him again. So he drowned in a puddle. It wasn't a full river, and there's pictures of it, and it was not a it's crazy because it's so crazy because I remember this like it was yesterday, and it was not it's not a river, you see.
That looks more like a little retention.
Yeah, like a pond. Water.
Like a ditch that just filled up with water.
Yeah, there was another picture.
But by looking at that, though, if it's dark, you can tell why somebody might fall and then...
Right, not be able to get up and stuff. Yeah, because
that looks like a dark tunnel. It just got flooded with water.
But it's crazy because, like, why would he go there? You know what I'm saying? Why did he get up the bus in the first place?
Well, that's one of the biggest things with CTE is that it's such erratic behavior, and it literally happens just out of nowhere. And there's really not much of an explanation for it. Like, you could go to the doctors and you look, like, there's no blood test that's going to show this. There's no nothing that's going to show this unless you literally give your brain to science and they can open it and look at it.
Right. And, like, look, you could see here... I'm showing Jen the pictures, and we'll post these pictures too when this comes out. Like, the people that are looking for them are not even wet. So it can't even be like a super deep tunnel.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if he has CTE, but from what Jen was saying, it sounded like he did.
I mean, it could because that erratic behavior of just getting off the bus out of nowhere and then getting lost and not having the ability to, you know, kind of... what is the word? Not reroute, but I guess like recenter yourself.
Right.
You know? And in Spanish, ubicarte.
Ubicarte, yes. So, okay. So with that being said, we're going to talk about another wrestler who was incredibly fucking famous in here at the WWE.
And if you're a millennial, you must.
You gotta know. I mean,
you must.
Jen is not even like a wrestling person, and she knew.
I definitely did. I'm not a wrestling person now, but growing up, we were very much... Okay. Bro, we had the fucking... The little plastic WWE rings that you could buy, the wrestling rings. My brother had all the action figures. We'd sit there playing and all that, like... We were heavy into it when it started becoming a thing, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
See, like, I remember Stone Cold, well, The Undertaker. Well, you have brothers,
too, so makes sense.
Exactly. Those two brothers. ¿Cómo se llamaban? I don't remember what the fuck they're called, what their names were. And then, what was that? There was another white guy, not Vince McMahon, but there was another white dude. I don't know, but... I remember the big guys, the big OGs.
And back to Abismo, it's funny because his name translates to, like, Black Abyss.
The Abyss.
Yeah, and, like,
and he that died place, in a black abyss.
Like, in a black abyss. Ooh! Like, yo, like, that is crazy.
That is a little creepy. Yeah, that's a little odd. You see, sometimes manifestation be playing you in different ways, man.
Yeah, and, like, I remember with him, like, I wish I should have thought about him before and I could have showed you his entrance. He was so cool. And in Mexico, they did these things where, like, they will light up a match and, like, with an aerosol can, they will blow up the, you know, the fire. And that's what he would do. And actually, that was one of his tricks. And he would, like, burn other people, which, you know, whatever. And he was just like, I'm the roughest of them all. Like, it was... I wasn't on, because in Mexican wrestling, which is fucking, it was like técnicos and rudos, and he was a rudo and I was a técnica, so I wasn't like on his team, but he was really good, and like, I can't believe that I didn't think about it until you said lost of, like, sense of lostness. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry, back to Chris Benoit. We all know, and if you don't know, you're about to find out.
Mm-hmm. Chris Benoit. And buckle up.
And new people, like, if you're younger and you try to look for Chris Benoit in the WWE Network, you won't find it because the McMahon family did a great job of, as soon as he was told, said that he was the one that killed, you know, what we were going to get into, he was a killer, not just a suicide victim. They erased him all. Like, he doesn't... I think that you could find clips of him on YouTube. Because, you know, YouTube... You're on YouTube one time. You're on YouTube forever. But not on the WWE.
No, because they are very... It's like what happened to Ric Flair recently. That whole situation.
No, I don't know anything about Ric Flair.
Girl, that is a cheeseman for another day.
Oh, my God. I need to look that up.
Yes, yes. We'll talk offline
okay,
on that.
Okay, okay. So, over a three-day period from June 22nd to June 24, 2007, Chris Benoit, a 40-year-old Canadian professional wrestler employed by the WWE, who was living in Fayetteville, Georgia, killed his wife Nancy and their 7-year-old son Daniel before hanging himself. So autopsy results show that Benoit's wife was murdered first, as she had was bound on the feet and the wrist and died of asphyxiation. On the night of June 22nd, on June 25th, Nancy was found wrapped in a towel with blood under her head. Although Fayette County District Attorney Scott Ballard reported no other signs of struggle. The couple's son, and trigger warning, this is the rough, it's a child, so, you know, Daniel Christopher Benoit also died of asphyxiation. Well, he was killed as he was lying sedated on his bed the morning of June 23rd. Oh, see? No. I'm getting this from Wikipedia, and I'm not trying to tell Wikipedia what they... Because I was just going to do like a... You know, I'm going to do a little small synopsis. But Chris Benoit had a wrestling move. And his wrestling move, he would put...
Because that's the issue with Wiki, because you can go on there and people can edit their own information. So they'd be trifling with the info.
So he would do like the cross phase, which was a submission hold that had been used for many years. He would move under the people's hand with his... I mean, the people's heads, like in a headlock, with both of his hands locked in, and will pull the person's head back, and he will put the rest of his body, like, onto the wrestler. And that's how he would, like, that was his signature move. People would tap out, so obviously he didn't kill nobody in the wrestling. But that's how he killed his son with the move. And obviously he was, the son was asphyxiated because, wow, the, you know.
He literally restricted from, yes, his breathing. Okay, well.
Then on the June of 24, Benoit killed himself in his weight room when he used a lat pull down machine to hang himself.
Yikes.
Like, whoa. Because I don't know how the lat machine works because I don't work out. But I'm guessing it was one of those that probably you pull down and then it goes right up, right? If you don't, you're not holding it down.
Yeah, so that's, it's this one. So what he probably did is he probably hung himself from the very top.
Yeah.
Because that bar goes down when it has weight, the other one.
Okay.
So he probably hung himself from the very top, the cage of it.
Ah, okay. See, I was thinking, but yeah, it makes sense. I was thinking he was probably standing up, put that around his head, the bar that comes down, and just let it pull him up.
He could have done that too.
Because, whichever, it's fucking crazy.
He could have done that too.
Yeah, he had left a... He had left Bibles near the bodies of his wife and his son.
Good Lord.
So, like, I know from other... I listened to a podcast about him, and it was actually a good podcast. I know he was suffering from depression because a lot of his... Like, the person who had taught him how to wrestle, like, that started with him, had passed away because he was an older man. Then this is when... Eddie Guerrero had just passed away.
And they were close.
And they were very close. Actually, him and his nephew, Chavo Guerrero, were the ones that came to the hotel and got rid of some stuff that Eddie Guerrero had there. I don't want to say what stuff because, once, I wasn't there, I didn't see it. And two, I love Eddie Guerrero and he did no wrong. So, we don't know. He got rid of his dirty underwears. We don't fucking know. Anyways. Don't fucking play with me, bitch. Anyways, no. So... Later on, when, you know, he was autopsied and he started being looked in, it was proposed that he was suffering from severe CTE. He was also using steroids and he was abusing alcohol. But, you know...
Steroids do affect your brain, too. So yeah, that also could be a reason as to why that induced more CTE also.
Absolutely. Like, and alcohol. I just feel like, I mean, a lot of those people...
They are drug users.
It's not even like... Yeah, yes, they're drug users. But it's a lot of them, some of them don't even like try to. But bro, after you're fucking... beat the down pain,
yeah.
And like on a Monday, and then you have to go to get beat down again on Saturday... That you need to take a little pill, and then eventually right. they stop working on you because you're taking so many of them. So you're
going to other things.
Yeah, you're increasing the amount you're taking in, and eventually, like Jen said, you're having to go for harder stuff.
Yeah.
So now, I'm not saying this is how he started. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying like that makes sense. Like anything else, you have a pain that you can't get rid of, and you're gonna start incrementing like more and more medicine,
yeah.
And eventually, you know, can be addicted to a lot of stuff. Also, you know, those people need to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
They need to act a certain way. They need to have certain
that persona,
certain endurance within their body, within their mind, to be out there and fucking wrestle. And yes, storylines in wrestling are fake. We know that, but hits are real. Yeah. As much as they try to not hit each other, bro, like
some of the punches and stuff, yes, we know are more of slaps and faking it, and it's just a soundboard, we get it. But I know millennials remember that cage back in the day, like we were talking about, that damn wire cage that everybody was throwing themselves off at the top or bring down with the chair. There was somebody else that had a ladder at one point.
Bro, the Hardy Boys. There's no way.
That's who I was talking about.
Earlier,
the Hardy Boys.
Like the brothers. Yes, okay, yes. And like, bro, them
They were nuts.
And they came
out and talked about what you were saying about the pain and stuff that they dealt with, and that's how they become drug addicts.
There's two of them. The one brother that did all the colorful hair, the more known one.
Let me Google their names because it's gonna bother me.
Yeah, he was known for coming like high as hell and not off of marijuana. You know, high as hell and like barely getting through some wrestling matches at like the time that he was down and out. I'm sure it wasn't always, but you know what I'm saying? Like, these people are putting their body through. Your body's not supposed to go through that. Your body's supposed to be very fucking relaxed.
Yeah.
That's why right now that we are more aware of a lot of things, why do people do chiropractors as much? Because we know that everyday usage of a body has to be dealt with accordingly.
Which one are you talking about?
Where are their names?
Right here. Matt and Jeff.
Jeff Hardy. He was the one that was a little more known. Yeah. Which makes sense because he's in the front. I saw this, once again, me being a wrestling fan, I saw this like little documentary of like stuff like the times that wrestlers saved another wrestler's life, and then one wrestler that came out, blonde guy, whatever his name was, I don't remember him, he said that like he was literally like carrying Jeff's whole performance that night because Jeff could barely move. But, a lot of people are saying that he was caused by CT. There is a, like, theory that they said that he didn't kill himself, that he was killed over something. But there's no, like, grounds other than that's a theory. So we're going to go with, let's say he did kill, obviously, his wife and son. And, you know, CTE played a big part of it. His drug use played part of it. His terror use played a part of it. But, you know, CTE is something to be absolutely, like, taking. And, like, then again, like, I'm going to say taking it seriously. But then again, like, I'm sorry. That shit just went away from me. Like, whoa, I forgot what I was going to say. we're talking about taking care of it and stuff, but you cannot tell CTE until a brain is, you know, I think out of the skull, because I think that's how they do it or whatever. So, like, dang, like, yeah, a lot of signs, but, like, anything, you can't be assertive of it, so that's crazy.
I was reading that there's really not much of a way for them to assess or like even medicate you because there's nothing that really shows it. I don't even think an MRI really shows it. Mm-hmm. From what I was understanding, that's what I was actually telling Osa. Like, this makes me very intrigued to think about the trend that happens with athletes in very tough contact sports, boxing, wrestling, and football, because if you see the trend, a lot of these men in these sports are very violent and aggressive towards women. And so it makes you wonder, like, are a lot of these things happening because a lot of these people are already suffering from different forms of CTE?
Absolutely.
Because
it will make sense.
Exactly. I mean, there's been plenty of football players, you know, just to talk about. I can't even pick one because there's just so fucking many.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, have beat their girlfriends. Or, I mean, there was one recently not too long ago. The TikTok one. She went on TikTok because the police department wasn't even doing anything at that point. And he's seen in the video, like, throwing. Luckily, the baby wasn't there.
But no, he was there, but he didn't hit the baby at all.
The baby was on the couch. Yeah, you're right. And then he was seen throwing something else, like, literally right over the couch, and it could have hit the baby. So, like, just paying a lot of attention to these things, you really start to wonder, this cannot be just, they're violent, they're this, they're that. Yeah, no. Because it's too consistent. It's too much of a thing that men in these specific sports, I'm not saying there's not basketball players that don't beat on their women, because there have been. But not nearly not as many. So,
yeah, obviously there's other stuff that could lead to, you know, to abuse and to domestic violence and stuff. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, like, the consistency of the same
scenarios
within these sports that 10 to kind of like, you know, go for the head or like kind of like aggravate the head. Mm-hmm. And back to the Chris Benoit thing, you know, you said that you thought that he just like hung himself from the bar. But remember I told you what I thought it was? And I thought it was that because I heard it somewhere. On the talk, which is Chris Jericho's podcast, mm-hmm. Nancy's sister, Sandra, went on and clarified that Benoit used a towel around his neck attached to the handle of the machine, which he pulled down using a very heavy weight and then let go, breaking his head, his neck instantly. Holy. And I'm sorry, there is no way somebody in their right fucking mind is gonna wanna break their own neck, because they can 100%, well, not 100%, but they can survive that. Bro, you know the type of pain you're gonna be with a broken neck? Yes, most of the time you're gonna pass, you're gonna die, but...
Yeah, but there's been people that have survived crazy accidents.
Like that? Oh, the thought of that is, oh my God, just whoa.
Did you ever hear about the wrestler Grizzly Smith?
No.
So, not too long ago, there's been on, I think it's on Vice, they're releasing a lot of new, like, wrestling documentaries on, like, big people. And he was around in the 70s. So, he was around when, like, wrestling was really starting to become a big thing. Okay. And, you know, they were a little bit different back in the day.
Right.
I strongly suggest reading into this, or watching at least that episode, because it's a very interesting episode nonetheless. But this guy Grizzly, he had a family, and he had his kids were wrestlers.
Okay.
But no one knew any of them were related. No one really knew they were his kids. Okay. No one knew they were siblings. He raised them very apart from each other. He was very cold to them, very abusive in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
So much so where he sexually assaulted his own daughter.
Oh wow.
So, as I'm talking about this and then go and think back to that I watched this episode, I wonder if in a scenario, like, if this even dates back to shit like this, you know, to back to that, it's...
Because if there's no protective shit now, imagine in the fucking 70s.
Bro, look at his picture!
I looked him up, yeah.
And they literally walked into the ring with nothing. At least now there's some straps and pads and something.
And not only that, like... Bro, back in the 70s, you didn't even need a fucking seatbelt or, like, a child seat care.
Bro,
like,
you smoked on an airplane in the 70s.
You smoked around your children in the 70s. And a fucking thing.
You smoked pregnant with the beer in your hand.
Yes. So, like, you know what I'm saying? But the times have changed that, like, there's more precautions now. So, only imagine back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
And then the medical system back then was complete garbage because there was really... no MRIs, there's no x-rays, or there's no, like, ultrasounds and shit like that. You know, a lot of the stuff back then was still very much up and coming. So, if we can't even determine CTE now, in 2022, imagine all of those people back then, which definitely makes sense as, let's say, Hulk Hogan, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or even Ric Flair himself. Ric Flair was a fucking hoot. Bro. That dude is crazy.
Yeah.
That guy is crazy.
Bro, I literally, every time anybody mentions Ric Flair, I remember... always his fucking head full of blood. Bro, like, yep. Oh, what's in... Rick Foley, bro. Like, oh my God. He was a... I remember when... what happened to his ear? Did his ear felt like somebody... I think it got cut off, or like it got injured to where, like... I remember at the end, he would wear something on his ear.
Ear. I'm looking it up because I don't remember. He got his ear ripped off by Vader.
Shit! Like, that is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, I can talk wrestling for years, too.
It says, Foley was battling Big Van Vader with a routine move with him caught up in the ropes and resulted in his ear getting split at the back. So, he was stuck in the ropes.
Yo, those ropes are dangerous, too, because there's the Mexican wrestler that died, because his net hit the rope before they were. Rey Mysterio went to do a 619, and you know how he pushes people so he could go back and run forward, and you know, to do the 619. And before he was able even to hit him, El Perro Aguayo, that was his name, he hit the rope, hit his neck, and like he just is lingering. And people were thinking that he was being, because
he was acting it out.
Yeah, he was acting it out because you know how Ric Flair did like his dirty tricks. Yeah, that's what they thought he was doing when
acting like
that he was done so he could go and get the upper hand. And when they Conan, bro, there's no way that man doesn't have PTSD because Conan was there. He was his second on the fucking wrestling match.
Oh,
and
my God.
He even, like, on the video, you're like, he's telling him, Perrito, bro, like, stop. Like, this is not funny no more. And he never,
he was dead.
He was dead. Yeah, he never, like, they didn't even get to get him out the fucking wrestling arena before he was already pronounced dead. Oh, yeah. And I remember that people were, like, saying, telling his dad to press charges against Rey Mysterio. And he was like, no, this is wrestling. And my son knew what he was doing when he got in that ring. Blah, blah, blah. Point is, shit like that happens all the time where, like, maybe they're being careful, but...
But crazy accidents happen.
Yeah.
No, it's true. It is very much true. Wasn't there a boxer who died, like, from complete, like, on contact knockout?
I'm sure there was.
I'm trying to look him up right now, who it was. But, I mean, okay, I can't think of it right now. But, and I can't really find the one I'm talking about. But let's use Mike Tyson. He's still alive. You're not going to tell me that Mike Tyson did not suffer or is still not suffering from some type of CTE. Because the man can't even talk properly.
But was he always not able to talk properly, or was that after the boxing? I don't know that.
That's a good question. Because
he does have
a list.
A list.
But it's not the list I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When you hear him, mm-hmm. he can't. He doesn't have a large vocabulary. His speaking is very elementary, is what I'm saying. And it's just because he's been hit and he has a lag. He talks slow.
Okay.
Como un bobito.
Yeah, type of thing.
So
yeah.
In that regard,
yes.
You know, I do feel like he has suffered some type of whatever. I mean, even Muhammad Ali, didn't he get like severely just like knocked out or whatever by one punch? And that was pretty much it. Oh no, he died from septic shock, but still.
He died from what?
Septic shock.
What is that?
When your body is infected, let's say like if you can't poop or if you get salmonella or like a bacteria, MRSA, and your body can't fight it off, you die from sepsis.
Got it.
Sorry, what were you
saying? I was just gonna say, I know that Mike Tyson became a boxer so he could knock out the person who won against Muhammad Ali. I know that for sure. But whatever. That's not here or there. That's just fun facts if you didn't know.
Yeah, we're just talking at this point. Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like a good majority of the big dogs from boxing and wrestling and even football definitely.
Because you gotta see, okay, so these people made it big, obviously.
Yeah.
Since when have they been getting hit? Because ever since high school, it's a contact sport. Maybe not middle school.
Before that. Okay. Because if you start in peewee leagues, like, as a little kid, you know, you can't tackle or you whatever. There are restrictions on the contact. But even then, falling on the floor, hitting your head, like, that's why, like, people ask me, are you ever going to let Elias play football? Hell no. He can pick any sport in this world, but football is not one of them.
Michael, I'm not doing it until if he wants to go into it, then I just feel like...
Yeah, he got to be old enough to sign himself up and pay for it. Because I'm sorry, I cannot know that I'm signing my son up for one of the most dangerous sports out there. Because, listen, you can heal a leg. You can heal an arm. You can heal a lot of body parts. But you can't heal your brain.
Yeah.
And once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
I was seeing a TikTok of this little boy who's like 7. And he was born normal, healthy, fully functioning, verbal, everything, you know, as time went on. And he suffered a traumatic brain injury. He's paraplegic. He doesn't have any type of nothing. No. So, you know, he's alive through machines and, you know, medicine and stuff like that. But
from that,
you are a perfectly able little boy. Yeah. And in a matter of God knows how long,
second,
that can flip. Yeah. So just knowing that I am signing myself for, my son for that, and I'm giving a green for that, is just making me weary. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather be able to heal for a cast of your leg. You know what I'm saying?
I get it. No, I get it. I just feel like with Michael, I'm such a, like, you know, it's whatever, it's your choice.
Yeah.
I do think that we will have to sit down and have this conversation with him. Like, right. You know, look at all the cases, look at this, look at that. And if you feel like that's worth your life, then, you know what I'm saying, I can't just be like, no. Yeah. But I won't put him in as a child. Right. But
that's what I'm saying. If it's in my control, yeah. Honey, I'm sorry, no.
Yeah.
But if you're at least 18 and you can sign yourself up.
Girl, 18, he won't be out of play.
For the last year of football, we're good.
No.
I'm just kidding. But no, even still.
I feel you.
At least middle school.
Hopefully by then we'll have something like a bubble.
Maybe.
Like a contact bubble where, like, your head doesn't get hit.
There's just no way that from rugby inception of this type of game, because football came from rugby.
Right.
So from rugby, which is actually much more aggressive than football,
right.
From rugby till now in 2022, you're going to tell me y'all haven't made these helmets better?
You know what? I don't know. A bubble like Sandy from SpongeBob. Like that. You
have
know?
You ever seen the movie Bubble Boy?
Yeah, like that. Okay. A bubble, a helmet bubble. You know what? I'm not even going to say this on the podcast, because if I come up with it, the NFL is not going to take my ideas. Talk to me. I don't know who runs the NFL. Talk to me. Okay, so we're talking about football. Let's talk about one of the, you know, most known cases of CTE, which is
dun, dun, dun.
Aaron Hernandez.
Osa's baby daddy in her dreams.
Oh, okay, so disclaimer, people are like, you are thing a killer. I thought he was fun before he was a killer.
Because he was.
I didn't know he was a killer. I'm not attracted to him because he killed somebody,
we
okay?
We don't have weird fetishes here.
No, it was just, he was a handsome young man.
That's a fact.
And it kills me that he went down the whole. And before y'all came come and tell me that, you know, he was bi. So what? If he was bi, I would accept him. I'm not judging.
Shit.
Why would I judge him?
I'm sure as hell I'm not judging.
Yeah.
My bias.
Exactly. Like, why? Okay, I don't judge him. Why would I judge him as a man? I don't give a fuck. That's his preference. Would I wish that he would have been able to, you know what I'm saying? If he was to come out while he was alive, yes. I don't like the fact that he died and killed and, you know, everything. And then people were like, oh, well, we were lovers. Like,
what is that relevant?
Not even that. And he would want y'all to know.
No.
He would have told us.
Facts.
Believe me. Aaron Hernandez got enough playtime and camera time for him to be like, hello, I'm a bisexual man. But that's not here or there. We're not talking. This is not about him being bi. Oh, actually, let's go back to it. Yes. Because a lot of people, when you talk about Aaron Hernandez, they do want to bring up his sexuality, when his sexuality had nothing
absolutely
to
nothing
do with his killings and his then after suicide.
At all.
There's a new right name for that. Unaliving? His
unaliving.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, let's get to it. Aaron Jose Hernandez, a.k.a. Chico. And it's so funny because Jen didn't know the Chico terminology. And we've explained it here. In Tampa, you're Hispanic. Everybody's going to say you're Chico, especially if you hang out with, you know, say more people who don't speak Spanish. So, you know, Kat was known as Chico. I was known as Chico. We were all Chicos. And then Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, where was he from? Bristol, Connecticut, was known as Chico. In the field, they knew him as Chico. Anyways, he was married, irrelevant. He had a daughter.
She was crazy.
Yeah, he had a daughter who, you know, she comes in a little later, so we'll see. He played football since he could walk. He was always a football player because his dad was a big macho man who, you know, played football but then fucking died in a small-ass procedure. Okay, sir. Okay. And the only reason I'm shading the dad, not because, you know, small procedures and men. No, I'm shading him because he was homophobic and he was abusive and he was a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm shading him. Not because, you know, I understand men. You guys are not as strong as y'all think y'all are. Yeah. I get it, you know? And we respect that, you know?
Okay. Just kidding.
Yes. So,
His dad was a piece of shit.
I'm just trying to see what else I should put in here because I feel like we all know. He did make one Super Bowl appearance. Mm-hmm. Oh, he had those really... People didn't love it, but he had those really cool... what is it called? When he made a touchdown, he will always...
little dance?
Yeah, his little dance where he will break into the ball. But people are like, that was his... The thug him. No, he knew that was money, bro. He was making Super Bowl money. Stop playing with my man's, okay? He came from nothing. He came from... From what I understood, the man chilled at the trap house with his cousin, who was eventually the lady who had cancer and didn't tell on him. His mom was a piece of shit because his mom then dated that cousin's boyfriend. Uh-huh. His brother was close to him, but for whatever reason, he's not brought up in a lot until, like, yeah, his brother was also a football player. They were both supposed to go to a certain college together, and then he just out of nowhere chose, you know, UF.
Because he was trying to get away from all the trouble up there.
Which makes sense.
But then he got himself in trouble down here, so.
Well... We'll talk about that in a second, too.
People put him in some trouble, though, also.
And, like, not even just people, but because, like, he started... Once he went to the Patriots... Okay, we'll get to it. Okay. So then, Aaron Hernandez from Crystal High School goes to UF, and he has 3 years there. He does not do his fourth year. They push him to go get drafted, which is crazy because everybody that... I heard, not that I know, because I don't know football, knows that if he would have probably stayed at UF one more year, he would have been one of the number one draft picks. When, as a junior, he was like 20-something. They thought they wasn't going to draft him. So, anyways, in Gainesville, he gets in trouble. He already has, according to court, because they did go and snitch on him about this. He has another shooting that he is... The participant of allegedly, and he's the one that shoots and kills somebody and then shoots the dude in the eye. I'm unsure if those are two different cases or the same cases, but I just feel like, damn, bro, it can't be two different cases. You're not just going around shooting everybody. Jesus fucking Christ. So the man went and shot, I think he shot like into the car, killed one person, and then hit the other dude that eventually testified against him in court. I don't want to say snitching because the man was just testifying. The dude did say he was street, but then, you know, testified. That's on him. I'm not the streets. I'm not judging him. So, I am judging him. But, you know, whatever.
Well, because street code is street code.
Yeah, like, if you're in the streets, bro, don't be snitching. It's just that simple. But he snitched. Period. But this is after the Lloyd case. But. He then makes it, you know, gets drafted in the fucking 100 fucking plays and makes it to the NFL. In the NFL, he is now he makes it to the New England Patriots. And from what I understand, his house from Boston, because he lived in Boston, and then where he was from in Connecticut was like, not it's close, you know, it's not that far.
I do remember hearing that in the documentary that even though he was in the big leagues hanging out with certain people, he was still hanging out with them street people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that.
Actually, the day of Lloyd's shooting, he had like two dudes he grew up with from Crystal, like from Connecticut, from Bristol with him. He was also an alleged blood, a gang member. So... That adds on to it. I personally think, this is my opinion, come for me, I don't give a fuck. I think that Aaron Hernandez, if he was bisexual and fighting that with that internally, he felt like he had a show that he was a macho man, that he was street, that he was this, that he was that. Because if you think about it, there was no reason for him to be in the streets anymore. Like, you are playing for the fucking Patriots with... I'm not a fan, but with the best quarterback in the fucking league, Tom Literally Brady. Ever. Like, and you have Gronk too, right? He was there at that time, I think so. Yeah, because they were playing the Patriots together. You were in one of the best fucking teams in the league, bro. And I vividly remember there's a video of him where they're like, you know, what are you going to do different now that you're, you know, playing for the NFL? He was like, well, I'm in the Patriots. So we're going to try to leave a patriotic life. And I always felt like he meant, like he was going to try to leave his life behind.
Yeah.
Was it a poor choice of him to still be hanging out with, you know, people from back home and the people who were from the hood and stuff? Yes. Is that... He's at fault. I'm not unfaulting him of anything. But was that really a willing choice? Or did that have to do with his problem? His
conflict issue.
Which, later on, we're gonna, you know, find out that the day... Okay, so sorry. He then is hanging out with two hoodlums from back home, and he picks up his wife's sister's
boyfriend,
fiance, because they were fiance. He picks him up, and there was an issue there because Lloyd texts his sister-in-law. So Lloyd texts Hernandez's sister-in-law and tells him, "I am with NFL football player. If anything happens to me, just know that." Or he might be texted his own sister. He texted somebody that. Watch the, not the newest documentary, but not the one where his quote-unquote gay lover comes on. No. Watch the old documentary. It's really good. And there is a podcast on him. And I'll put the link because I can't remember the name. I think it's like Guardian. It's a really good podcast. So... he picks him up. They drive to, like, a remote area. He shoots him. He leaves that area. Literally the next day, there's a runner in that area, gets him, and, you know, the police gets called. Aaron Hernandez goes to get talked to right there, like, right away because the text was out. Like, you know, he was with him. Their cell phones pinned together. He comes home. There's a blob. In his hand, as his wife states it. I don't. Did you see the court thing?
I did.
Where she's like, "I don't see nothing. It's a blob." Like, bitch. I get you're not trying to tell on your husband. See
there's a black gun. It's in his a fucking gun.
It could be anything. And then, so you know, he gets. I know he gets let off for. I think the Lloyd's case. And then he gets convicted for the other case in Gainesville because that's when they, you know, tell on him. They were going to also what is that called that I said the other guy? Like, take it back to court. I can't remember.
Retry?
Yeah, not retry, but he was going to fight it. After he was found guilty, he was going to fight it.
Now, to appeal.
Yeah, to appeal it. Now, remember, he had just gotten, we don't love him, bias on his team.
Oh, yeah.
Jose Baez.
I have a funny story about him.
I remember a story that I was like, we don't love him. And I mean, I don't love him, but on top of that. But so, you know, Baez is who gets him clear from the Lloyd's murder. And then this other murder was already, like, going.
But he was going to try to get him off that.
Yes, which he had, from what I understand, I mean... I hate the man, but as a lawyer, the man knows what the fuck he's doing.
If you could get KC Anthony free...
The man knows what the fuck he's doing.
You could pretty much do anything. Because she was completely and utterly guilty.
Exactly.
Also, potentially the jury's fault, but we're not here for them.
And also, she was a white woman.
That too.
We'll get,
she was dirty. You know what? We might have to cover her ass.
Dusty. But that would be a long case because we're just going to talk shit about her all
the
day.
The whole time. The whole day. Fuck the bitch. We're just going to talk shit.
Like, this fucker. This fuck that. Anyway.
Fuck you hard.
So, you know, he gets convicted for the two murders. And then the day...
Excuse me.
Oh, no. I'm just kidding. I might have had it confused. So the day after being acquitted for the double homicide. So he gets acquitted
for the first one.
For the shooting in
Gainesville.
He's about to be tried for the other one.
The Lloyd case.
Yes, the Lloyd case. So, you know, but the day after being acquitted, he talks to Baez afterwards. He tells, that morning, he says that he's in high spirits. I read a funny tweet about him, and we'll talk about it too. he's like, you know, I have a great feeling about this. You got me off for the first two. So you're going to get me off for this one. Baez was like, bro, we're going to fight it. We got this. And at least not life, whatever, whatever. And
that same night, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's actually the after being put of the homicide, Hernandez was found in his cell, which was ruled a suicide. His conviction for murder was initially vacated under the doctrine of admittum ab initio because Hernandez died during his appeal. So I guess if you die during his appeal, they can't, like, they kind of cut it off or whatever. Which is kind of crazy because you have just received really good news from two murders. You have just one between. I mean, if you're balancing it out, two murders, one. There's one where there's an actual witness, which is one of the guy. Right. There's another one where there's no witness. It's all kind of circumstantial evidence. You know, you can play it off in a lot of ways. Not, you know, I'm not saying go do that, but Hernandez could have just been like, we were fine, we drove out there, he just got out my car, and then I don't know what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was ways.
Well, isn't that some part of the defense, too? Because there was two other people with him.
Oh, yeah. There's two other people with him that was not Aaron Hernandez. And a lot of people say that they were just trying to make a statement about how the NFL football players are not above the law. Because there was those two guys that were from Bristol with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to cover it. I'm going to cover Aaron Hernandez eventually.
Yeah.
But I just feel like this was a great case of... So Hernandez was then diagnosed with CTE, which was led to the speculation over how the condition might affect his behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a time where... Yeah, I know Baez loves to fucking talk. He's in the whole documentary about it. Baez said that Hernandez had a condo where he didn't let his wife go to as much. Mm-hmm. But one time he did go with her and the cops were called and Baez talked to him for whatever reason. I don't know how Baez talked to him. And then he was like, oh, I got guns. I got this. And Baez said that his behavior was like crazy erratic. Like he was like, I don't give a fuck about any of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't even tell me that. Like, what are you going on?
Yeah.
You
know, I actually found out that for a criminal defense lawyer, you actually shouldn't tell them. You can't tell them the truth. Like, you really can't tell them if you did or not. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't.
I mean, it will make sense because then how would they lie in court?
I know, but I didn't know that was like legit. Like the what's the word I'm talking about? Like, I didn't know that that's how that worked. Because I, in my mind, obviously, I'm not a lawyer here, obviously, in not even any sense of the word. In my mind, I'm thinking they know, and that is why they're defending you. You know what I mean?
Defending you the best way.
But then I was watching a show, and it was like, well, you can't really know, because then if the court finds out that you actually knew the truth, then you're working towards the biased client. I was like, oh, my God, this makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, no, being a lawyer is not easy. Bro, they got that.
You know what? It doesn't look enjoyable at all. The money does. The money looks beautiful. Yes. But I'm sorry. I don't want to be trying someone for months at a time.
Oh, my God. Like, fuck there's that. Yeah. No.
Years, for that matter, in some cases. No, hold on, Nadia.
Sorry. So, no, it's fine. You know, Hernandez, he was diagnosed with CTE. Baez said that time with the guns, and then one time he said that he went to visit him, you know, as a lawyer, and he was like, Aaron Hernandez completely fucking, like, went ballistic on me for no reason. He was like, and that's what I knew. Aaron Hernandez has CTE. And he was going to try to incorporate that into the defense. But, you know, he killed himself. And, well, first of all, there's no way to prove CTE.
That's why he can't, yeah.
Yeah, but he was like, I'm going to at least mention to see if we could, you know, circumstantial, yeah. Whatever. So, yeah, CTE, guys, don't do it. Don't get it.
They can don't do it.
Don't do it. No, yeah, and that's crazy. And
Well, isn't that what they're also trying to say that this guy has? The guy that just recently walked off the field?
AB. Oh, my God. Okay, so I guess I need to go look into Aaron Hernandez thing. So, there was a Gainesville bar fight. There was a Gainesville double shooting. There was a Plainville fight, which probably is whatever. There was a Boston double homicide. There was a traffic stop. There was a Miami shooting.
So the double homicide wasn't the actual shooting we were thinking
of. No, because the shooting I'm thinking of one is the shooting of Alexander Barali, who is the person who testified against him, that he shot in the eye and he has the
prosthetic guy.
The California incident is, oh, we're not done. The California incidents and then the murder of Odin Floyd.
Damn.
That's crazy, because I didn't know there was that many stuff. They don't go into that many stuff. When we do it, we'll go into all of that. And, you know, we'll talk about how he had anger issues. And obviously, that's a sign of CTE. I know it's not reported, but I think his mom or his... Somebody said that Aaron Hernandez's first head injury was in Pee Wee League.
Yeah.
He said that he got knocked down and he was out for a couple minutes or seconds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy. I didn't know there was that many shootings. So I'm sorry. I guess he was like, you know,
aggressive.
He was aggressive. But the double homicide, I did not know that there was a many shootings. Sorry.
I mean, it definitely explains, and that's why, like, I tell people, you can't just write people off as violent, because people that live certain lives, like, your brain literally goes through different traumatic changes. So, like, somebody who was raised in a family that obviously had a lot of issues, he was raised in the hood, so literally, just living, even if you grew up in a loving home,
right?
But living in the hood, like, that is living on survival. So right. Having to live like that does alter your brain. So that absolutely alone is a right traumatic event. So he has abuse in his home. He has survival living in the hood. Then he's basically hanging out in trap houses at a young age. So right. Lord knows what drugs, that's number four, drugs that he's on. And at what age?
Now, you gotta see that he left his house really young exactly to go live in the trap house because his mom didn't give a fuck about him.
Exactly.
She was dating his cousin. I'm sorry, but as we said, as a mom, why are you dating your niece's boyfriend? And then
just goes to show.
His mom was not a nice lady. In the phone calls from jail, she was like, you got so many $1 million. Why couldn't you just give me $1 million?
Yep.
And I would have left you alone. And she was like, bro, I don't have $1 million like in my pocket. Yes, that's what the contract is for, but that's not how that works. And she just would not.
She didn't care.
She didn't give a fuck. She wanted him for his money. She didn't give a fuck about that man.
That was the part of the documentary I started crying in. Because, again, people don't take this stuff into account. Like, these kids that grow up with basically nothing but football or basketball or some
right
type of sport as a future
right
come from places that they know that they are the only escape.
Yeah.
So
they are their
time,
only hope.
Yeah. So most of the time, those kids are being pushed into doing these things and being... That is abuse.
Right.
You know, they are being abused because their parents know that's my ticket out.
Yeah. And their dad was... Okay, their dad died before all of this happened, but their
still
dad
abusive
was definitely
yeah
a big problem. His sister's like, yes, he was abusive as fuck, as we mentioned. And also, he, like, was pushing him to be the best, which was why he was the best in football, because he saw his size. So Aaron Hernandez was always a very big kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was already peak size in high school. So that's when, like, they were pushing him to go through, like, you know, football, whatever. And also, they did say that once his dad died, there was a lot of changes in him. So, you know, it's crazy.
It's a lot of things on top of each other.
Yeah.
A lot of different types of trauma, a lot of change.
Abuse,
drug
that
use.
Internal, like, you know, at the end of the day, him not knowing who he was because he couldn't be himself. So, we've always said, he didn't come out and say he was bisexual. So, to me, he was not a bisexual person. I don't give a fuck what anybody else says. If you as a person can't come out and say you're bisexual, to me, you're not bisexual. And so, you're okay with, one, you saying it yourself. Two, that being talked about. So, me respecting
right
that
right
is why I say, you know what I'm saying?
I agree.
You know, because people are like, well,
he says, she said, ain't valid.
Yeah, and he was a kid. He could be whatever the fuck he wants. It's like when people...
But he didn't want us to know.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly. It's when people... Like, you don't think that Aaron Hernandez could have married a fucking guy? It was Aaron Hernandez!
He would have married anybody.
Exactly! He married
he
a woman for a reason.
Yeah.
Had... Whatever was the reason. Was it to cover that he was bisexual? Was it his fucking girlfriend from high school came back and said that she wrote him letters, and according to her, it was like she caught him texting some dude. Bitch, why the fuck are you here? Because literally you said, and it's funny as fuck, because you literally said, I don't want nothing to do with him because he's going to go to the NFL. That's not the lifestyle I want to live, which is respectable. But for whatever reason, he dies.
And that's you want to come out.
You want to come out. Like,
bye.
No. Fuck out of here.
You're just mad because you didn't stick around for him getting into the NFL. And now you want some airtime to get some money.
Exactly. Exactly. No. Go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That bitch. And I feel like a lot of people in his life, when it met her, failed him.
Yeah.
So all of that,
everything,
you know what I'm saying, got something new. And we're not saying he was not at fault. We're just saying that
he's
all
a part
of those
of his environment.
And all of those things played out to how he handled a lot of things, which was violently. Him having CTE, if you don't think that him having CTE had anything to do with the fact that he thought he could just go around fucking shooting and killing people as an NFL football player, like, you didn't think people were going to be like, oh, that's
and
him.
He definitely had CTE because he didn't show signs of like being a psychopath or a sociopath.
No, he wasn't abusive.
It was literally sprouts of erratic behavior.
Yes.
It's literally just spats of just him losing his shit.
Exactly. And once again, that had nothing to do with him being bisexual, so stop bringing that shit up.
Yeah, no.
Because you can 100% talk about Aaron Hernandez without, because that had nothing, he didn't shoot somebody because the person was gay or was bisexual. He shot people because he, according to him, felt disrespected because they stepped on his shoe, because they spilled a drink on him, because they had beef with his people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and unfortunately, we were never able to find out what the issue was with Odin. But of course, the first thing they said it was that Aaron tried to come off to him. You know, and
but why would they say that without any proof of that?
And not only any proof.
That's bullshit.
Aaron Hernandez he had his own apartment. He could have been bringing any other man. But for whatever reason, there's nobody else who has came out. You think that he was just going to have that one boyfriend? That was ugly as fuck too, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I don't care for his wife, but his wife was not an ugly lady. Mm-hmm. It's not an ugly lady. Mm-hmm. So the man had taste.
Yeah. No, yeah, he did. So, I'm pretty sure he has some NDAs signed, too.
Yeah, and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what... No.
Yeah, no.
I don't believe it.
I don't...
And even if I did believe it, I don't give a fuck about it, because that's not what caused his behavior to be violent.
A lot of... And I'll tell you this, and honestly, I think a lot of what also causes violent behavior was the fact that he grew up in a place where he felt like he had no control, he had no value... He didn't have anyone to listen to him, you know what I mean? And now he's fucking Aaron Hernandez, mm-hmm. like one of the biggest players at the time, you know what I mean? Everybody fucking knew him. He essentially produced like a god complex.
Yeah.
It was adverse.
Yeah.
He had no sense of control over that type of attention, over that type of, you know, like publicity.
And
he felt like he was owed. And that's the thing is that a lot of people, it's... Again, this is not a justification. This is an understanding of how people get to certain places. It's the whole point of psychology. It's all puzzle pieces you put together. He literally was not built for what he walked into. Mm-mm. He was not built for that type of life, that type of pressure, that type of attention. Because going from not having anybody who actually loved you, not having
to
anybody
having,
who respected.
No, yeah. To having people
literally fucking die at your feet for you, pretty much.
To having people
Patriots,
covering man. That you have, you know, shot people in Gainesville, because Gainesville's not big.
No.
People knew. And actually, in the documentary, A Gladiator, I'll look it up. But in that documentary, they definitely talk about how UF got called about those shootings from Aaron Hernandez. And they were able to just be like, oh, whatever.
And that's another thing. Again,
the changes.
It's just weird. Yeah, the changes were so severe for him, and then he was passed on a lot of things because he was seen as a token. So he was given the leeway for a lot of these things. There was no consequences. There was nothing. So in a mind like him, he's like, oh, I'm still in the streets. I still mm-hmm. got power. I still got this. I still have play. And that's pretty much what the fuck happened here in a certain extent. You know exactly. what I mean? And I feel also he was very young. He just wasn't prepared for a lot of that shit.
I mean,
he had no grounding. He had no parent to even call and be like, son, what are you doing? Yeah. He had no guidance. He had nothing from never. You know what I mean? He literally raised himself in the hood, surrounded by drugs and trappers. What you can't expect much. Even that's why he never left that life. It's like they always say, you could take the person out of the hood, you can't take the hood out of the person.
Especially with those problems that he was having.
Exactly.
Like he knew that he could be violent over there and it wasn't no issue.
I was gonna just get covered up.
The podcast that I mentioned, it's a really good podcast, and it's called Gladiator, Aaron Hernandez and Football Inc. That podcast covers so many things because they know a lot more. I don't think they like have interviews with people, which I feel like it's kind of better because then it's kind of like unbiased and stuff. So
that's what I meant, unbiased.
I know what you meant. Because I think that the first show that they did about him was really good too, and I think the Netflix one, it was just more like a bunch of gossip. Like that's what it seemed like.
There wasn't really much facts.
Yeah, they didn't focus on what they needed to focus on, which was the victims, which was Aaron Hernandez and his lifestyle and how the CTE affected him. Like I don't give a fuck if you had sex with Aaron Hernandez in high school. Why are you even counting that?
Yeah, no, they definitely should have had professors that dealt with him on an academic level that could have spoken about maybe his ability to learn, which that would have been a given.
And he wasn't that great because
his grades were barely passing. Yes,
I don't know if it was at UF, he had to go take some classes at the community college because he wasn't passing them at UF. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was a lot of more credible people that they could have spoken to that actually could have shed proper light on things that would have been more, I guess,
just more important.
Informational, more important
to the actual case.
Yeah, because I never understood why in trials they do that. They bring the lover, they bring the this, they bring the that. Those people are only certain parts of the story.
Especially if they're not talking to your character. You're talking about how y'all were lovers. Cool.
What does that have to do
with anything? Talk about if he was angry or not.
Did he hit you?
If he randomly has parts of anger. If he made erotic decisions. Yeah, did you see him shoot somebody?
Exactly.
Talk about that. Don't talk about him having a whole relationship with you in high school. With anybody in high school. It's not only irrelevant, there's nothing like crazy about that. There's nothing erotic about that. There's nothing nerve-wracking about that. It's just,
I think that would have been, had she had something to say, because again, like you mentioned earlier, his first injury was in the peewees. So has she been like, well, you know, in high school he was aggressive, he was this. Talk about if there's anything in your past that is actually showing relevant that he could have CTE.
Or
aggressive.
He was aggressive. Exactly.
Whatever the fuck the case is, but actually give a testimony that actually has information. Don't just come up here and fucking gossip. Because if that's the case, we could call TMZ and be like, yo, what you got on Aaron Hernandez?
And they probably got way more than you.
Honestly.
They probably lived down in the condo from where Aaron Hernandez was. But yeah, that was, that's crazy. That's CTE. That's Chris Benoit. That's Abismo Negro. That's Aaron Hernandez. And there's a lot of other people.
And honestly, we don't even know the other ones that potentially could have had CTE. And we just won't know because they were never examined for it.
I know OJ made a comment that he thinks he has CTE.
I wouldn't doubt that because he was very known to be aggressive and all that
stuff. So, you know, just, and what we know about OJ. So, yeah.
What's his son, by the way?
Interesting. I'm unsure. I'm very unsure.
Well, where's your brother at?
Hello.
Chloe, where you at, bro? Where's your brother?
Girl, don't bring the Kardashians in here because they got money to end us and we haven't started yet.
Yeah, Kanye, we need you.
You know what? Yeah, Kanye, holla at us.
Geminis unite, Papi. Both bipolars, too. We got shit to talk about, honey. What's up? Tell me. Have a seat. You could give us... Yo, real quick. This is not related, but now we're here on the topic. Did you see Kim Kardashian was trying to keep him from his child's birthday party?
Yes.
Dusty.
Oh. That is dusty. People are saying that he's a narcissist. He's, and I'm like, girl, shut the fuck up.
I mean, he might be.
But he still needs to see his child. And they're like,
we can have a cheese man Kanye another day.
Yeah, he could have his own party. He doesn't have a lot of family. His mom is gone. His dad is, like, who is he going to invite to the party? Why not just go to the party that was already... But yes, let's have a cheese man of Kanye.
But why would you want to have your kid go through that? And that's what I feel like a lot of these stupid people don't understand sometimes. It's like, you're not doing it to him, you're doing it to your child.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're not hurting, yes, you're hurting him, but you're hurting your kid more than you'll ever imagine.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was our Chisme episode on CTE. If you liked it,
let us know.
We'll keep doing it.
If you don't like it, don't tell us, because I'd be my feelings.
We're here for if you liked it.
Yeah, I'd be my feelings. Stop, I'll cry. Go leave us a review. Go, show us some love in the Instagram. Go do what you gotta do. Share, like, subscribe. And yeah,
we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Las Chicas del Crime. We hope you join us next time for another episode full of crime y chisme. Give us a follow on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, which we will list on the description of this episode. Please also rate our show and leave us a review, as that helps bring awareness to our podcast. We appreciate it. Gracias.